meeting to microphone.
All right, 10 o'clock, you can call the meeting to order.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to call the meeting to order, and as required by state law, this meeting is open to the public meeting. Open to the public by telephonic communications. The college is complying with suspended proceedings of the Open Meetings Act in accordance with Section 418.016 of the Texas Government Code. Members of the public are entitled to participate and may attend in person or through remote connections and may address the board during the budget hearing or Agenda 5 communications to the board later in the meeting. Is there anyone here that wants to speak to the board? I don't hear anyone saying they will, so therefore the Board of Trustees on August 29th, 2022, beginning at 10 a.m., will convene a closed executive session in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act of Security 551.076.
All right. And we get a home. Yeah, now.
Hearing is now in session. Notice this budget hearing has been presented through the news media. Citizens are now invited to present their views concerning the higher college budget and the Southwest College for the Deaf budget. All who desire to be heard shall now record their names with the Secretary of the Board of Trustees, David Cavio, and only those so recorded will be heard. Do we have anyone wishing to speak to the board about the budget? Since there are no other discussions on the budget for Higher College and Southwest College for the Deaf, we will close this hearing. Okay. Now we're going to go reconvene our regular meeting. And Mr. Maxwell Barge, will you give us an invitation for this afternoon?
Thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us here and for blessing this community so much with our college. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we seek your discernment and how you would have us handle this business of this college. May you bless everybody here. May you give them a special blessing and a special hunger for the education of our town. We praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, recognition of guests. Do we have any guests here besides Randy? I see Randy over there.
I think most everybody people you know.
Yeah, okay, very good. Then we'll go on to our next agenda item, which is at this time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals regarding any item on the agenda. And if an individual has a place on the agenda for addressing the board, those comments and questions will be handled at the following time. See anyone? Therefore, we'll move on to our regular routine matters. You've all had a chance to read the go through your minutes from your
sir.
Yeah, it is hard. I think people can see. People can know they can come in, but it's just hard to hear.
Hey, way to go, Ben. Good. Okay. I think you've all your laptops and your information. You've had a chance to read your minutes and financials and monthly reports, personal matters, internal audit, and I need to entertain a motion to approve those. Have a motion, have a second. Another second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. No unfinished business. Under new business, we're looking at the district adoption annual budget, Higher College and Southwest College for the Deaf for 2022-2023.
All right, Mr. Chairman, board members, since the budget workshop, we have continued to put Brenda has continued to put the budgets together. As you know, we look at the unrestricted budgets for each of our campuses, so that's the Big Spring, La Mesa, San Angelo, and SWID, and she has pulled all those together as far as the unrestricted. As you know, that's the Big Spring, La Mesa, and San Angelo budgets come together in the Howard College budget. The SWID budget is kept separate. And then at the same time, she has included the restricted portions of the budget as well as the retirement of indebtedness sections. So now we have the total budget. The total budget for the district is right at $60,059,528,105. And so then, as you know, that then is broken up by campus. The district unrestricted budget is $39,885,641. When you look at the different budgets then, as far as the Howard College one is $35,667,068, and the SWID unrestricted budget is $4,218,573. When you look at the individual campuses, then we are going to have deficit budgets depending on what's happening by the campus. And some of that, of course, we talked about during the workshop that has to do with some of the special projects. And those are, in some instances, they're going to be fund balance usage. And it's the Howard College budget is a deficit unrestricted budget of -$2,711,912, and again, that's the budget expenditures for the Big Spring and Central campuses. And the SWID unrestricted budget is finalized with a deficit as well of $351,000, and again, that relates to some projects on the SWID campus. This year will be the last year that we will be able to use the CARES funds, and as we discussed in the budget workshop, some of that is still being determined as far as how we will use that. In particular, we're looking at some distance classrooms that need to be updated for each of our campuses, but we're getting, as of this morning, Brenda, they're reading some of the emails that are flying around relative to how we are going to be able to use the CARES funds, so we will get that taken care of in the next month or so. And the final numbers that I'm bringing to you are a result of your decisions at the budget workshop and reflect of the way that you ask us to move forward.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll need a motion to approve the budget as presented.
Property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate.
On the budget. On the budget. Just need one on the budget. All right. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, well, motion carried. Now we go to the adoption of tax rate.
Sure.
Property tax rate be increased by the adoption of the tax rate from 0.18395 to 0.27% increase in the tax rate, even though taxes will go down.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right.
Okay. The next thing that has to happen after you adopt the tax rate, you also have to do the debt rate, and you have to do the maintenance and operations rate. Those are separate motions.
I make a motion to adopt the debt tax rate of 0.016453 for the 2022 tax year.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries again. Thank you.
Can I make another motion to adopt the maintenance and operation M&O rate of 0.015942 the 2022 tax year. The tax rate will raise more taxes for maintenance and operations than last year's tax rate. The tax rate will be effectively raised by 4.53% and will raise taxes for maintenance and operations on a $100,000 home by approximately $9.94, even though, again, your taxes will go down.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. That motion also carries. Thank you very much. guess we're going to move on to, Okay. Move on now to our COVID response status number 28.
All right. We continue to find ourselves working through the COVID-19 pandemic, but we know we're in a lot better place than we were, 28 months ago? This is our 28th report to you all. And so we're continuing to give you these updates on a monthly basis since we moved into that altered operations status. You see in your document this month, there's not, again, because of where we are, we really are moving into just final decisions on how we operate going forward. You have in your packet, you see on page 3, the cases across the service area. And we're seeing really there is some activity in, like, for example, the Tom Green area, but as far as every campus, we're still keeping up with those cases as they come in if we have them. The main thing that I would say is that we are working to try to return to normalcy as much as we possibly can. And we are in the yellow alert status, not quite green. As I mentioned, we're kind of in, maybe it's pear or something, or olive. You know, we're almost in green. And so we're glad to be in that place. And as a result of that, you also have, as a part of your packet, you have an updated Open Howard College plan, because the one that we've used this last year, of course, reflected how we started the academic year back in August of 21. And so we've updated the Open Howard College plan to reflect where we are. It has the new links as far as updated information, and we do this along the way as things change with CDC or we get new guidance from coordinating board or whatever is happening, we try to update. And so you have an updated document. And then as far as the alert status, there are no changes in the alert status document. And so that's our report today on the COVID.
Thank you. Okay, we're going down to the SACSOC fifth-year report.
SACSOC fifth-year report. That's our Southern Association reaffirmation process that you will recall. We went through that about 5 years ago. And now it's hard to believe, but we're at the midpoint. And that means we're having to do the fifth-year report as we move toward the other reaffirmation that will come up again. And so we have a report that's due on the 15th of September, and you will, when we come back in September, we'll give you an update on that, but I wanted you to just have, again, an update that we are moving to completion. That is a very involved project. Amber Kelly is taking the lead on that. She's our liaison, and she's taking the lead on that. A lot of people are involved in as far as providing information for her and helping with that, but she is our lead on that. So we are almost to the point of having to hit the button and send things, but we'll come back in September with a final report.
Okay, thank you. That's a big problem. It's an angel over request, so we'll go on to performance measure outcome. Excess official report from contact hours 1 and 2.
All right. This reflects what happened in the summer as far as our enrollment for both summer 1 and summer 2. You can see that it varied by the campuses as far as what was happening. Overall, there was in summer 1, there was a slight decrease, and that was reflected in both semesters, summer 1 and summer 2. But again, it varied by campus. We saw increases on the SWID campus, the La Mesa campus was flat, and the Big Spring campus was up in summer one. Summer two, basically pretty close enrollments. The Big Spring campus was, as far as the SWID and La Mesa campus, the Big Spring campus was up. Our St. Angel campus was not in summer one and summer two. Then when you look at contact hours then and what happens with that, when you move to the next page and you look at what happened with our contact hours for workforce training, continuing ed, you begin to see that our contact hours are returning for the FCI as we, again, move out of the pandemic and we're being able to do more activity at that location. So you see headcount going up, you see contact hours going up, and you see course offerings going up. We do have some, as far as the San Angelo and Big Spring campus, a slight decrease in headcount. Contact hours, again, are going up. Sometimes on the Big Spring campus, you see that they're actually up for the quarter three. The San Angelo campus, they were down some. Course offerings, it again, down. But overall, we're beginning to see some recovery in the workforce training area as we're moving out of the pandemic.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. We have no new information on student success, community, and workforce development or performance excellence. So we'll move on to monitoring, which is purchasing. RFQ number 20-014, telehealth complete care.
We're going to ask you to pass on this today. We were just not ready to recommend what we need to do on this particular RFP, and we're still asking some more questions. This is a project that we would be able to use some of the CARES funding for this year, but we're looking at the possibility of a plan that would be over a three-year time period, and so that would, of course, require some kind of a revenue stream in the second and third year of a three-year contract. And so we're not quite ready to make a recommendation on that, so we're going to ask you to pass on that today.
We'll pass on that today. Then we're going to close on RFP number 22-013, commercial hurt passenger bus.
Yes, sir. We're in a scenario there where we're going back out on a proposal for that one, and we're approaching it a little differently so we can get more interest. So we want to ask you to take action on closing this particular RFP because we've got a new one that's out on the streets.
Need a motion to close that RFP, please. Have a motion to have a second. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Handbook catalog changes.
All right. As discussed in the executive session, there are some policies that we want to add to our employee handbooks, our student handbooks, relative to some things that we want to address in security. And so we're going to be asking for permission for some of those policies to be added into those particular handbooks, and we will make those changes and then bring them back to you as an informational item at the next board meeting. Need approval for that authority.
Have a motion to approve those. Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. On to annual review of investment policy and strategy and public funds investment act.
Okay. As you know, you have there's a policy 4.11. And that is our investment policy, and this is something that's been in place for a while. We have to have it reaffirmed on an annual basis. When you look at the investment policy, you're looking at it from the standpoint of just not only how we do certain things, but the strategy behind our investments. And we are not recommending any changes. This, again, is an annual requirement, and so we need you to reaffirm the existing policy.
Yeah, that's been working very good for us. Need a motion to approve that? Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
Have a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, thank you. Auditor's services.
All right, we are recommending that we continue the arrangement with Logan Thomas and Johnson, who had been the lead adult audit firm for us. They work with James, Lee Reynolds and Welch as far as the actual final audit, and we're asking for you to continue that we continue that arrangement.
It's also been a great service. I need a motion to approve those. Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Construction renovation projects.
All right. Again, Terry has provided an overview of the last month relative to where we are on the roofing. And, Terry, I don't know if you want to give a brief update on where we are.
Well, I can. We met this morning with both architects and the roofing company. The WCR feels like they will reach substantial, depending on weather. Weather cooperates at all. We know we've got 2 or 3 days of rain coming midweek this week, but if weather cooperates, they believe they'll reach substantial completion. I mean, SWIT is already complete and finalized, but on this campus, we'll reach that by the end of September. When that happens, when we reach that point, there'll be about 2 days that we will walk just do a really close examination of every roof that was touched. Just to remind you, some roofs were coated, a few roofs were replaced, and most roofs had repairs done to them. So that was the extent of the money that we had, and that we tried to expend it in the most appropriate way. As far as what's going on right now, Farco Mechanical is raising the heating and air conditioning units on the east and west ends of the Coliseum. Once that is done, they'll be able to come and insulate those roofs and then get the base sheet, the cap sheet on them. I was up there this morning. There's a good bit of work left to do up there, but I'm sure you've seen the new metal that's been put on the Coliseum, on the fascia. They've already made on site, they've already made the metal for the slanted part, and it's ready to be installed. But we can't really install all that until the east and west lower roofs are replaced. On the top of the Coliseum, on the upper roof, the only thing that's going to be done, we've already got new skylights up there, but we're going to redo. There's a really large expansion joint right in the middle, and that will be redone. But the upper roof does not receive any work beyond that. There's just a few little odds and ends that they're finishing up on. With the rains that we had in the last week or 10 days, we just had very minimal leaking. Some of it was not even related to roofs, like around windows and things like that. But I think really actually only 2 leaks that I know of were actually related to the roofs. So, as far as, does anybody have any questions on the roofing project?
I'm just curious. Was the fascia and all that stuff metal before?
It was. It was our panel before. The new metal is an architectural metal, and it's really a lot nicer looking. And it's got an interlocking seam. Rather, our panel, as you know, just is an overlap.
Mm-hmm.
This has an interlocking seam.
Oh, cool.
So it's a lot more weathertight.
Cool.
It's very nice. If you've not had an opportunity to drive by the Coliseum and look yet, I think you're going to be very pleased.
It's very nice look. The metal that's going to be on the slanted part will be a standing seam metal. Instead of
just almost completely flush, like the upper part. There will be a road seam, and it's a double lock. It locks on both ends. It's going to be nice.
Cool.
Just to bring you up to date on the damage from the rain on April 24. Forest Garrett is completely restored. WCR and DeWitt Contracting have been working for the last week in McKinney Building, and they have made amazing progress over there. They were coming in this morning, so nothing happened this morning, but starting this afternoon, or at least tomorrow morning, there'll be crews over there finishing up. All the sheetrock has been replaced, and most of it has been taped and first floated, and so they'll do a finished float and get that ready. Then we'll have ceilings and cove base to do. It's been determined that we don't want carpet back in that building. Being an industrial building, carpet wasn't the best plan anyway because it was hard to keep it clean.
Yeah, so, true. Very true.
We'll figure something else out.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that.
How did we ever do with the insurance?
Well, that's a great question. There's multiple things. Okay, on the Coliseum, that was on our insurance. And Travelers, our insurance company, is negotiating with Service Masters. The bill, what was it, Brenda, $338,000? So far, they go through and scrub every line item. And so far, they've paid on $211,000. They're going through the rest of it to see, just to make sure that everything's okay, justified. I don't know where that will end up. And then Fabian's working on getting bids on the Coliseum. You may want to come talk about that. On McKinney, there was really, in some ways, you could almost say there's three insurance companies on the hook on that one. WCR, the main contractor, their insurance company is United Fire Group. And so far, United Fire Group has not accepted the responsibility for the damage, nor have they denied it. You know, I don't know. You know, that happened April 24th, so we're now 4 months down the road. It's hard to understand that. Maybe Adrian can help us. I don't know.
Oh, man, I wish I could. I don't know. That's a good question. They're dragging their feet, probably.
Seems like.
Yeah, that's a common thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably trying to decide. I would, my best guess is they're doing analysis on current costs versus when they sold the policy and trying to find how much to get off. But it shouldn't take that long.
Not to get too much into the weeds on that, but when that event happened, WCR, the roofing company, signed the work order or the contract with Service Master. That bill came in at over $480,000 on Garrett and McKinney. So really, they are the ones that are on the hook for that cost. The WCR took care of all the restoration in Garrett and in McKinney. If you've read the reports, we had discussed doing some changing over there, but since days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months, we decided we just need to get the building back online. So we asked WCR and DeWitt Contracting, who did the coating on McKinney, Just help us put the building back together. And they have really performed and come in and done a great job so far. And I honestly believe that their work, everything they're going to do, will be finished in less than 2 weeks today. So back to the insurance question. United Fire Group is probably on the hook for most of it. They have not denied it. DeWitt Contracting, that did the coating on McKinney, their insurance, his insurance company has not they denied any responsibility. As far as Travelers, we have a $50,000 cap on that kind of loss, and so I don't know whether, you know, it probably depends on what United Fire Group does before we find out whether that will be in play or not. So, does that make sense?
You did.
United Fire Group.
Have they given you an excuse why they haven't?
United Fire Group, I was in contact with them probably almost weekly for the first 2 or 2.5 months, and all I got was like one sentence answers from them, which told me that they really didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
We're not their customer.
Yeah.
WCR is who really holds the strings with that policy.
Yeah.
And he has not been able to. He told me he talks to him every Tuesday. We talked about it this morning. He lets him get past Monday, and then on every Tuesday he asks him, and he's not getting any answers either.
They just saying they're
still processing, evaluating.
They sent their own adjusters and everything.
They sent.
Oh my
goodness, Adrian. There's been so many adjusters in there. I can't even really remember how many.
Right.
And then they brought in Hague Engineering, which is an engineering company that I don't know if they do anything besides work for insurance companies and evaluate losses. And after the Hague engineer had looked at the building, I asked him how long it would take to do the report. And he told me, he said, normally I do those reports, and he said, I normally do them in 2 weeks. This one's going to take 3. It's now been
3 months.
3 months since then.
That was part of them or WCR?
No, that's WCR's insurance, which is United Fire.
Right.
They hired Hague.
Oh, so
they hired Hague.
Oh, okay.
And actually, Martin Riley with WCR told me that United Fire Group is still waiting. Now, I don't know if we really buy that story. I don't know if we believe it or not, but that's what we're doing. So.
We end up having to get lawyers involved?
Well, you know, I mean, on the bright side of this, WCR and DeWitt Construction, who did the coating on WCR restored Garrett at no cost to us. All the insulation, all the ceiling tile, all the sheetrock, all the painting, all the cleanup, everything. They did it all. I guess Service Master did do some of the cleanup over there. But anyway, in McKinney, in the beginning, I think we just thought we'd get a check.
Yeah.
And we were going to take that check and maybe do some remodeling in the building. Right, Dr. Sparks? I mean, that was initial thought. But since that didn't happen, we just decided we've got to get that building back online. So it's, right now, we've got 3 buildings. Well, really 4 if you count the Coliseum. Library, music, part of the Coliseum, and part of McKinney. That's a big impact to our operation. And we just wanted to get it back online. And they are jumping through hoops to get it done for us. At no cost to us. So
I was going to ask, but they're still doing the work.
They're doing the work. They're providing all the materials. They're providing all the labor at no cost.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if United Fire takes, then they're entitled to some of that money to reimburse them for the cost that they pay. We did lose about $86,000 worth of property in Garrett and McKinney. We do feel like we have that coming back.
Sure.
Travelers has, and of course it was a basically policy and not replacement cost, but, you know, after deductibles and after depreciation, Travelers is going to reimburse us for the losses in the policy. So, to the limit of the policy. So, and they've told us that they will. And actually, we've already received one check, so.
Yeah. There's just a lot of moving parts on this.
I know, but we're not out a whole lot of money.
We're not out the other. We're not out a whole lot.
At this point, things are, yeah, it's just a slow process. And Mr. Chairman, you said as far as lawyers, I called our lawyer immediately.
Okay.
back in you know, when
lawyer,
when the event happened, just to put him on notice.
I'll say once you start that, though, you take the insurance company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it just really is.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he was just put on notice. Right. Yeah, he was just...
When it first happened, there was a lot of money involved, and we didn't know who was going to pay what or whatever, and it could have been substantial if everybody had dropped it off. But it sounds like now it's very contained.
You know, if we had restored McKinney ourselves, we had estimated the cost at $706,000. Part of that cost is labor and materials, but part of that cost is bid bonds, payment bonds, performance bonds, insurance, overhead and profit. You know, you've been through all that. Since WCR and DeWitt Construction came in and they're just handling it, it didn't have to be bid out, and so it saves everybody all that cost.
Yeah, I was thinking they're doing the work and they got a pretty big piece of the pie that they're looking to make sure that they recover as well, so it's not going away quietly, which is good. I mean, I think we're in a good position. They're distracted. WCRs now have, I think, maybe losing more stuff like that than we would if they don't pay for it.
Oh,
they
definitely.
Don't know what
the cost. The service, as I said a minute ago, the service master bill for Garrett and McKinney was over $480,000. You know, I don't know if it'll end up that much or not, but
right.
That's where it started.
Sure.
And we did not sign that contract with service master. It was signed by WCR. And so it makes them on the hook for that cost.
Making progress on it. It's slow, but Terry and Fabian and group, everybody has really continued to work on it, and it's y'all saw the pictures. It was massive.
The liability to us has shrunk.
Oh, yeah.
Enormous.
Yeah.
So now it's not even if things did not go well here, it would still be the liability is way less than we had initially worried about.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. And Fabian, on the bids for the Coliseum, where are we on that? We were having, that's the thing, getting people to bid, it's hard.
That's the issue. We have two contractors that have come out. They've given us bids. We have to kind of tweak those bids a little bit so we're comparing apples to apples. And my obstacle is finding a third contractor.
Yeah. And so I would say to you as a board, I know that we generally try to get three bids, but I think we're in a scenario where I've told Fabian, I think we're going to get to a point that we're going to need to be able to go with one of these bids because we're not being able to get a bidder. And so, you know, we're looking at things right now, but we may have to go with one of the two that we've got.
All right.
You want to talk about library music?
Yes.
Yes, that's next.
Okay. The bids came in, and they came in, as you already know, because you've approved them a little higher than what we hoped or what we had expected. But it's a road that we started down when the abatement was done in those buildings. We knew that the renovation would have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
basically the buildings are, I wouldn't get it, is a little too extreme, but you can tell there's something big going on over there. And so we've sent all the documents to both architects, one of them being Phil Parkman on music. The other one is Park Hill on the library, and they are preparing the contracts. As you recall, the J.C. Roberts out of Odessa won both of you. So, and I just heard this morning that J.C. Roberts was hiring WCR, who's our roofing company, to do the roof on the music building.
Right.
Because that came out of this, the roofing project, and so it went to the music building project.
Good. All right.
And Terry, when do you think that they're, based on the conversations, do you know when they'll start?
Well, for Brenda's peace of mind, we told them they could not start before September 1. Although I will tell you that unless Steve or Brenda or somebody's seen it, I haven't seen the construction company.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yet. So after September 1.
Yeah, okay. They're still thinking September.
Right.
Okay.
If it wasn't, if they did a nickel's worth of work over there, then Brenda has to do construction in progress.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was actually thinking, were they talking about October or something?
No. I have every reason to believe that it will start in September. I just don't know what day.
Okay.
Do we have an idea how long it's going to take?
Yes. The music building project, being the most complicated of the two, will take about 8 to 9 months. The library project, being somewhat simpler and less comprehensive, is probably going to be 6 or 7 months. But in either case, they, you know, a little mental math will tell you that's going to take us all the way through this school year on both buildings.
Yeah.
And so next summer, I know we'll spend getting the buildings reloaded, people move back in, and all that. So.
Exciting.
Yeah, good times. Thank you. All right, our next object on the agenda is Southwest College for the Deaf project updates.
Fabian, you want to share where we are on the diagnostic sensor?
Sure, that's scheduled to start next week. The abatement project for the diagnostic center is scheduled to start next week, and as soon as abatement is completed, then the demolition will start right after.
And have they given you a projected time on when they'll complete that?
No.
Okay.
Shouldn't take any time, that old wooden building.
Yeah.
It'll be down before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look better.
Are they going to clean the concrete away or just leave the concrete slab?
No, they're cleaning everything.
Super.
Wow.
That's even
right,
better.
Right, Jerry?
Thank you.
That's super.
I think that building's going to be Well,
it may be sold. It may not have a slab.
There's a retaining wall. There's a retaining wall on the west part of the building and also an old pine tree.
Yeah, I remember that pine tree. I climbed that pine tree when I was young.
Yeah.
You better get out there and do it again because it's going to be gone.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Down to the present. No, student information system project.
Eric, you want to give an update on the student information system?
Yes. Amy, come on. We have the servers. They're installed. They've transitioned the software to our servers on site. So they're making some DNS or programming changes so that when users go to the Howard College URL for CAMS, it'll point them to Howard, you know, the servers on site. And so Amy, Tracy, and I have been scheduling trainings for end users, and we're going to be going into end user trainings weekly, right? And so.
You want me to talk or not?
No. And so that's going to be ongoing, basically, through September and beyond.
Yeah, this morning we sent out a text sent out a time to start. I didn't give maybe one comment. That means they're probably not so lucky. But, yeah, weekly meetings for an hour with admissions and financial aid separately with Tracy on our contact. And then it's the 29th, I believe, the 26th. September 26th, he'll come to campus and we'll do training all day. And that will, it will intensify, but we're starting out weekly training, calls, updates, and we set up a lead implementation team and then have your other teams working, and then we hope everyone doesn't have to be at every single training, but, you know, we need to make sure we're getting the information and learning as much as we can.
Since when do you get one comment?
Sorry?
Since when do you get one comment?
Mm-hmm. I'm working on that.
So there's those, and then Devin, who I think, I don't know if you brought him up by name earlier, but Devin was the new hire a year or so ago. So we hired him to kind of start taking the lead on the new information system, and so Tracy wants to start working on all of our integrations with third-party software, so we're going to start getting into, reports and all the kind of background processes that offices have beyond just their normal putting in students, putting in courses. So all the things that connect out from the student information system, we're going to start doing those things outside of these other trainings.
Yeah.
Be busy.
Yeah, so we'll have the CAMS, basically the implementation of CAMS, and then we'll have the integration of all these other softwares. We talked about that earlier. You know, all these softwares that are a part of what we do. And so that integration will begin, and it was a part of the arrangement that we had with Thesis to implement the CAMS product.
Moving.
It is moving.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate you. Uh-oh. President's report.
Yep, now it's me. All right. So you have in your board book the planning from August through October. We have a lot going on. You can tell students are back, and that's great. And we have some foundation meetings coming up soon. We have one in San Angelo for those that are part of that group. That'll be next week. And we've got theater that's starting up plays. You have some information about some different plays that are going to be going on. We have the Success Summit for the employees on the 16th, and I would remind you that's the first time in 3 years that we have pulled everybody together. So we're very excited about that. And we've got a speaker who we're very excited about. Fabian heard him at one of the conferences he attended and was very impressed with him. So he is going to be our speaker for that day. And so y'all are certainly welcome to come if you'd like. Again, you can just see, I won't go into all the different events, but you can tell that we have students that are busy and involved. Your next board meeting will be on the 26th of September, and I won't go into the calendar past that. We'll talk about that next month. So that's the calendar. As far as recognitions, I'm going to pass on that today. We've got some exciting news, but it's a little premature on a couple of people that are going to be recognized from our college district, and we'll talk about that at next month's meeting. Shall I keep going, Mr.
Yes, ma'am,
Chairman?
Please.
As far as legislative and general updates, we talked about earlier the fact that we're trying to get back to normal coming out of the pandemic, and of course that's happening everywhere, and we're seeing that happen at the federal level relative to the student aid loan program. And up until this point in time, students have been able, they haven't been having to pay anything on loans, and so that is going to change. The Biden administration has implemented a three-part program. One, the final extension of the student loan repayment pause is going to be through December. And so they're basically kind of giving students, that putting everybody on notice that come December, that's the last part of that. And then payments will resume in January of 23. So our financial aid department is trying to get this information out to our students. At the same time, then they are, as a part of the, they're calling it the Biden-Harris Administration Student Debt Relief Plan, they are providing targeted debt relief to low and middle income families. And so that will differ as far as what, how much debt cancellation they can have relative if they were a Pell, if they have a Pell grant or not. And so there's information that's being released on that. So that is beginning to come out. And then part three is they're wanting to make the student loan system more manageable for current and future borrowers. So we're finding out all the details and all of it. It was just released last week. Our financial aid person, Candace Draper, Candace Maldonado, got that information out to the district, and then we're getting that out to our students. So that's a big change, and again, it's just reflective of what is happening as we're all coming out and moving to normalcy. The next thing, as far as general updates on the legislative process, the commission is finalizing its work right now, and we in September will be having, they'll have a meeting, and we'll have more information that will come from that meeting. I have not the date. I think it's around the 18th of September, and I'll have more information at the next board meeting about that. Conflict disclosure forms, you all have those as a part of your information that is required every year, and so you need to sign off on those, and we keep that as a part of the requirements that we have. Your board training, we've had a lot of conversation today about cybersecurity. Everybody just loves cybersecurity training, but we have to have that completed by the last day of August, and so we're almost there. I think everybody, we're almost complete. And then Raul, he gets to continue training, and he has a couple more. After with completion of cybersecurity, then he will lack his investment training, has to have that done by November the 7th, I believe it is, and then he'll have the coordinating board training. You've had the short course, and now you'll get to have the longer one. And so he'll have all that behind him. So we're moving along on that.
Do you see the reduction in the student debt, not the forgiveness part? Do you see that having a big impact here?
Well, we do have several students that borrow, and we do have some that have challenge with that. I think that to answer your question, I really need to ask Candace that, and ask to give you a really she would be able to answer that better than I could. I don't know, Amy, do you have any kind of a?
I would hate to estimate to set the numbers.
Yeah, but I do think that again, as that rolls out, I think that in some ways, it may result in some students that have maybe they've gone into debt and they've not been able to finish because they stopped out, and then they have, after they're out so long, then they have to go into repayment, and so it could be that some students may opt to return because they're having some forgiveness on their debt, or, there's a better, as a part of the program, they're going to look at different income groups in a different way. So we'll see.
I couldn't really see that was going to impact community colleges.
As much, yeah, as far as the universities. Yeah. It varies, yeah. But we'll get some more information about that. Mr. Chairman, Board, that is all I have.
Well, the only report I have, that was one of the finest meals in the last 25 years that I've had today for lunch.
Good.
That was very good.
Good.
And by the authority granted by the governor of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
And you know what? Can I do something?
Yes, ma'am.
I had intended, as a part of the recognitions, I wanted to recognize Roger. We are so proud of his new title at the Herald and congratulate you. You've been covering the college for a while, and we're just excited that you have been. The official title is Managing Editor, right? And so he has moved into that role, so we're very proud of you. So,
yep.
Mr. Chairman, board
Give
members, if we can get that in there. Thank you, Amy, for reminding me.
All right. As repeated, the governor of Texas adjourns this meeting.
Thank you. And I'm hanging up.